Hello and welcome to MCNC Community Connect, a podcast where leaders and innovators regularly meet to discuss today's hottest technology topics and trends. I'm Tracy Dopes, the president and CEO of MCNC. I'm joined today with my colleague, Jim Nestor, MCNC's Chief Marketing Officer and Senior Director for Client Advocacy, as well as Marshall Cherry, the Chief Executive Officer of Roanoke Cooperative, and Bo Coughlin, Chief Operations Officer at Five, to discuss our new venture called Encore. Gentlemen, thank you for sharing some time today as we introduce Encore and explore its generational impact for bridging the digital divide in North Carolina. MCNC is one of the country's oldest research and education networks. Together with Five, a wholly owned subsidiary of Roanoke Cooperative, we have created this innovative collaboration known as Encore. This important and unique partnership is dedicated to improving North Carolina's technology and economic landscape. By merging assets, expertise, and relationships, Encore can plan, develop, construct, maintain, and operate high-speed broadband networks that provide affordable and sustainable internet access to residences, businesses, and community anchor institutions throughout North Carolina. Specifically, Encore will bridge the connectivity gap in so many underserved and overlooked areas by providing access to modern opportunities and critical resources to participate fully in today's growing digital economy. Encore is being labeled as the next generation of connectivity. So Marshall, I'm going to start with you. Right. When you hear me provide this description, what does it mean to you?
Thank you, Tracy. When I hear the term next generation of connectivity, it's exciting because it represents more than just technological advancement. It's about unlocking new opportunities for communities that have been underserved for too long. Tracy, I'm a native North Carolinian raised in Bertie County, one of the counties that will fall in that category along with others served by Roanoke Cooperative. So for us at Encore, this means bringing innovative broadband solutions to areas of North Carolina that have historically been overlooked. These are places where a reliable, affordable internet is not just a convenience, but a lifeline that can drive economic growth, enhance education, and connect people in ways that improve their quality of life. And to me, what makes this truly special is Encore brings together the strengths of MCNC's longstanding leadership in technology and Five's deep community roots through Roanoke Cooperative. Together, we're not just building infrastructure, we're building a pathway to equity in a digital economy. Our approach is custom tailored, meaning we understand that each community has its own unique needs and we're committed to crafting the right solutions for them. It's also important to note that while there's growing interest from electric cooperatives throughout North Carolina, particularly in regions with high numbers of underserved areas, we are in the early stages of engaging and partnering with those who share this vision. And Encore is positioning itself as a leader in this space, and we're committed to providing a lasting impact where it's needed most. So ultimately, next generation of connectivity means ensuring that no community is left behind, empowering people with the resources they need to thrive in today's digital world.
Marshall, well said. I'm going to throw the same question over to you, Bo. What do you think?
Well, you know, thanks for having me, Tracy. I really, really enjoy being here. I appreciate it. And again, I think I'm just going to almost reiterate what both of you said in terms of we continue to use the term generational, but this is a generational opportunity. And, you know, I think based on the proven track record of both MCNC and the cooperative and the fact that Encore has a singular mission, right, to provide affordable, comprehensive technology solutions to rural North Carolina, I do not know that there's another entity that would be able to do the things that we're trying to accomplish. I mean, I think that this reflects the importance of addressing the digital divide, right, where many communities lack, the basic access for of reliable high-speed internet. It's essential now. It's a vital service, right? That for modern economic and educational opportunities, right? So I think, bridging this gap, Oncor is not only providing the internet connectivity, but it's empowering the individuals, the businesses in these areas to allow them to fully participate in this digital economy that we're currently living in, right? Access to critical resources and improving the overall quality of life to point to some of the things that Marshall said. I mean, I think this signifies a great step toward greater digital equity, right? Economic growth for those underserved communities. So I couldn't say enough about it.
So, Bo, you just brought up a point that I think is really interesting, and one I have emphasized many times since we started talking about this collaboration. No other entity has and can do what Oncor will do. Why is that? I'd love anybody who would venture to answer that. Why is that? Why has it taken so long?
So from my experience, which is I've been doing this for, gosh, over 30 years now, the challenge with the landscape as we have had it and we have it today remains constant. And it's not anyone's fault. I don't blame in terms of I'm a business. If you're a business providing these services to markets across the country, you have a responsibility to your shareholders. You've got responsibilities to generate cash flow and additional value to those shareholders. And because of that, your mission is different. Your mission is to provide value to shareholders, whereas our mission is to provide value to the communities we serve.
And I would like to add to that, and that's a great point, as Bo has laid it out. Tracy, as you asked that question, it kind of reminds me of the reason why Roanoke Cooperative exists as an electric cooperative. In the 1930s, there was this commodity available across America where many folks in rural areas had access, and it was known as electricity. And many of their family members and colleagues in very rural pockets did not have access to this very service. Why is that? For those very same reasons that Bo laid out as to why the digital inclusion equation has not been solved yet today in 2024. These were things that were being experienced in America in the 1930s. And I would just say, I would say that one of the most successful ventures created in the federal government through the New Deal was known as the Rural Electrification Movement. And the government actually became a very active partner, making sure that capital access was available to these very areas that lacked access. There were models that were placed that allowed extended time due to extended depreciation on the assets that were being built because it takes a long time for these to actually reach its useful life. So as a result of that, individuals were able to start these electric cooperatives, borrow the funds that were necessary from the federal government, and invest in making sure that we could electrify America. And here we are today, 85, 90 years later, no one limits access to electricity. And I feel that we're creating a movement here through Oncor that will allow us to create a very similar movement here in North Carolina when it comes to broadband connectivity.
And
Ah,
Tracy,
great history lesson. Thank you. Go ahead, Jim.
well, and if I could hit on something that Bo said, for many years, decades, we and other providers have continued to build out infrastructure to where it most made sense. And for some providers, that service might have ended just down the road and not quite made it to those last set of residents who needed that service. And so that's where the concept of overlooked comes in. The providers got to a point where they provided service to one point, it no longer made economic or financial sense. The numbers just didn't work. So we still have these donut holes where service remains unavailable. And so we're looking at this as an opportunity. We're not looking to start where service exists and complete it. We're looking to start where it doesn't exist and connect back to that network, back to that middle mile, and create those services and opportunities for those unserved and overlooked communities.
Well said. These are very, very good points. I do think it's an interesting point, Bo, about kind of partly the reason why it hadn't been done before, or our missions are different, right? The mission of Encore is a one to help our communities, and we're not answering to shareholders. And Marshall, your point about this history lesson. And so I'd say not only is this generational, this also could be seen as historic. And I think it's going to be really interesting in the future to see when we look back on this day, even whether or not we continue to see it that way. As leaders in the electric cooperative and technology sectors, we have an exceptional opportunity and responsibility to come together to drive positive change. Encore was formed as a shared call to action, and it highlights a collective effort to remedy the underlying inequities, just like you talked about, Marshall, that keep many in North Carolina from reaching their full potential. So, I think we've answered this a little bit about no one has done this before, but what about the timing? Why introduce Encore now specifically? Would either one of you like to take this one?
I just feel that there is an urgency because this is not just about technology. And we can't say this word equity enough because there are so many North Carolinians who lack access. And this movement or this collaboration through Encore really allows every community to get the access that it deserves toward opportunities that broadband can create through economic growth and educational advancement. I know we've said that a couple of times before, but we just cannot really say that enough because I feel that it really addresses the equity equation, whereas an individual could live in rural North Carolina and enjoy the comforts of living there and perhaps live or work, I'm sorry, from a major city, work for a company that's based in Washington, D.C., or wherever the case may be, start the new business, have access to the education. If there were more times where we had to lock down and people work from home or stay home, then there's the education opportunity that you're not closing schools. So it kind of addresses a lot of the logistics that we really experienced during COVID, whereas we're able to do more now across the internet or through broadband connectivity. And I would just really sum it all up by saying this is the equity equation that we really need to solve. And I think the urgency is now, given the fact that there are so many opportunities, and as well as the fact that the demands are very high. We've seen it a lot at Roanoke Cooperative as we've started our business through five many years ago. And so the people are acknowledging that the need is now.
And to add to that, I mean, and kind of chime in on what Marshall was saying related to COVID. I mean, I think that squarely placed the emphasis and showed not only the communities here in rural North Carolina, but the world, the challenges and the need and the necessity of high-speed internet access. When students were forced to go to McDonald's parking lots to be able to become educated, right, to continue education, that's in the United States of America. I mean, that is something that I don't believe anyone really foresaw to take place. I mean, you've got the greatest opportunity here in this rural market to provide, to bridge that gap, that digital divide that's existed for at least that, for 30 years. And I think with the impetus behind a lot of this, I mean, to Marshall's credit and the cooperative's credit, is getting in this business. So now you've got, right, you've got COVID, you've got a need that was more than identified, and then you've got cooperatives stepping in to again serve, create the value, and serve the communities that they serve today. So combine that with the over 40 years of experience with MCNC and where we're at today, it's really kind of, again, it's the perfect timing for something that, all of us here in the rural markets and the rural communities wish would have happened 20 years ago, but we're thankful that it is today.
And so those are such good points. When you talk about COVID, which really shine this bright light on the deficiencies and the gaps across our state in particular. And I've been on my soapbox talking about, it's education, it's employment, it's also healthcare. And I
Yes.
think that's a piece that people forget. And it today is World Mental Health Day. So back in 2020, when people were really struggling, with healthcare and in those rural communities where their doctors weren't plentiful, but they also didn't have connectivity in order to get the services that they needed. And that isolation during COVID, I can imagine how much it caused a lot of mental illnesses to be, exacerbated because of the lack of healthcare. And I'm a strong believer, with all of these things, that's how you build thriving communities. And ultimately, that's what we're all trying to do here. Jim, I didn't know if you wanted to chime in as well on this one.
Well, I think to hit on your point there, Tracy, I think what one of the things that COVID and pandemic showed us was that the home is perhaps the original community anchors institution, right? I mean, during COVID, healthcare decisions, work from home decisions, education decisions, and other quality of life decisions were made from the home. And we did a good job of providing to those, or did the best job we could at providing to those students, those parents, those family members, and those communities during that time. But one of the reasons we still need this, and why Encore is so needed still today, is that you still have folks in communities that are connected when they're at the school, but disconnected when they get home,
Yeah.
right? They're still unserved and unable to connect to the core services they need because they don't have broadband infrastructure and internet. This is really about, like, it's a good time to do something right and something good. And that's what this is. And we've had conversations, Tracy, you and I have had conversations with a number of folks, including members of Congress, who have said the worst thing that could happen is that in 10 years or 20 years, we're still discussing this problem. We still have it. And so we're hoping as Encore that we can go a long way in eliminating that problem of inaccessibility.
Yeah, thank you for emphasizing that, Jim. So, we've talked about the timing of, why now and why no other entity has done this. So let's talk a little bit about the details of Encore a bit. So we're saying that Encore is partnering with the North Carolina Electric Membership Co-ops, also known as EMCs, to tackle the state's critical infrastructure needs, allowing residents and businesses to access more opportunities, like we've all mentioned here, and engage in this expanding digital economy. So this initiative represents a collaboration between MCNC and FIBE, aiming to work alongside other EMCs in building fiber optic networks for their members. Each EMC will create last mile fiber infrastructure that reaches homes and businesses. Encore serves as the residential and business internet service provider, or ISP, leasing fiber access and overseeing all network operations, including customer service, sales, and marketing. So now that we have a general idea of how Encore will work, and we know the timing is right, probably past time for doing something like this. So let's talk more specifically about how unique this opportunity is and how unique Encore is. And Bo, I'll start with you.
Yeah, I mean, this goes back to some of the things that we've spoken throughout the conversation today. I mean, I think with nearly 100 years of experience in serving the rural communities, it places the electric cooperative in a nearly exclusive position to bridge this digital divide and deliver another vital services to the area's its constituents, right? I mean, in essence, what we're enabling, right? We're enabling electric cooperatives to provide the most comprehensive comprehensive solution to its member owners as well as its communities without having to get into, quote unquote, the broadband business themselves. So it furthers their existing mission. It provides the communities and the member owners that they have today with a vital service that they desperately need. And it enables them to do so without having to create focus, you know, to change their focus on anything else. They can continue doing what they've been doing for the last 100 years and allow Encore to be able to deliver these services and provide the value in their markets.
Yeah, and I think it's important, Tracy, there as we talk, you know, Encore is relatively new and we're just getting up and running. And we're just starting, we're in initial stages of having those conversations with the EMCs and look forward to having more conversations with more EMCs across the state. But we're also looking to the telcos and their TMCs as well, because they, like the EMCs in some of these regions, remain the provider and the resource for community members. I think an important thing here is, as we talk about the benefits to the EMCs, is it's one, it's purpose-built fiber, right? We're building a utility of the future. We're providing the opportunity for operational improvements, public Wi-Fi, things of that sort. And there's also an element of cost management that goes into an element of what Encore is providing. And so we're bringing a lot of those opportunities and benefits to the EMCs, and ultimately we're collectively providing this much needed service, and ultimately everybody is benefiting.
So I'm going to tell you a very embarrassing story. When I first became the state CIO for North Carolina, I was doing my tour of downtown with the legislators. And I was sitting down with Senator Rabin, and we were talking about broadband. And he was peppering me with questions about how many are unserved and where are they? And then his last question was, why are we not doing something with electric membership co-ops? And I was speechless, because I had no idea what he was talking about. I had no idea of the contribution that EMCs have on broadband. And I was at a complete loss for how to answer his question. And now we fast forward, I guess, you know, 6 years, 5 years now, and this is where we are. I'm really looking forward to going back to him so he doesn't think I'm a complete idiot, because I know a lot more now than I did then. But in his conversation, he knew that there's something to be done here with the EMCs that could make a difference in the rural communities. And so I wanted to share that story, because it was a little embarrassing, because we said, well, what would EMCs do? And now we know what EMCs would do and TMCs would do. And it's nothing short of pretty miraculous in terms of, you know, this gem that we had that we, you know, really just had not made more investments in to expand connectivity throughout the state.
Yeah, I would say to that very point, you're going to find, particularly with the electric co-ops, if you want to really solve the mapping equation around under and unserved areas in North Carolina, just look at an electric co-op, because by default, as I mentioned earlier, the why behind rural electrification and how it became into existence is typically we're going to serve those areas that are going to be very remote. At Roanoke Cooperative, a very good example of that. We have about 6 meters for every mile of line. I believe that may very well be the lowest density among any electric utility in the state of North Carolina. When you compare that, that's not Raleigh, North Carolina. That's not Charlotte, North Carolina, because you're going to find 50, 60, 70, 80 in some cases, meters for every mile of line. So it's not an easy discussion, but I feel that Encore really helps the electric cooperatives live up to one of its principles, cooperation among cooperatives, because it's not an easy decision to make to start a broadband business, knowing that you're going into these areas where the return on investment is going to be very lengthy. We do see that, but we're driven by a commitment to our membership And our margins are very thin for a reason, because we want to ensure that we're able to serve. And I think that's at the very core why this is so important. Encore, its mission, the mission of MCNC, the mission of Rona Cooperative, the mission of Five, to ensure that all North Carolinians have access to digital equity and access to the digital economy.
So I think the other piece of this, too, Marshall, is as difficult as this may seem, this can be a model for other states that have a lot of rural communities that are not connected. Would you not agree?
I would agree, absolutely. And that's why leveraging these partnerships is so important. That's what really makes it special, because going at it alone, 26 electric cooperatives, there's a reason why 26 electric cooperatives in the state of North Carolina have not made a decision to go at this alone, because there are some parts of some service territories that may be served, and there's not enough underserved for them to make the decision to move forward with taking on a business themselves. Then again, the risk that goes with starting such a business. But Encore, this model is one I feel that could really be duplicated across the nation to ensure we could really solve this equation nationally. And it all comes through just great collaboration and understanding that through collaboration and creating the synergies that are important, we can actually get this done.
So, like many other states, and especially during COVID, North Carolina is now getting a clearer understanding of just how wide our digital divide is. Because high-speed internet is definitely a 21st century utility, expansion and ubiquitous connectivity will require a range of ideas because not every situation will be the same. And Marshall, I think you mentioned this early on, depending on where you live. So, how will Encore help fill this need, and how can other partners get involved?
As North Carolina becomes more aware of the digital divide, it's clear that high-speed internet is a necessity, much like electricity, as we talked about. And that challenges expanding, broadband varies greatly by community, as you mentioned. And that's why a flexible, comprehensive approach is necessary for Encore to meet needs, meet organizations, communities where they are. Encore addresses these challenges by utilizing existing resources and removing the common barriers that will slow down expansion. We've seen it at Roanoke, and of course, as I've talked to colleagues across the state. So we do focus on leveraging the existing infrastructure to reduce costs and timelines. And of course, we have a work toward providing free design and engineering services, ensuring that the communities can get tailored solutions without extra financial burdens. GIS mapping certainly is a very key component of this, as it helps us optimize network routes for the coverage that's needed. Another advantage is how we make it easy for partners to get involved, whether through it perhaps may be warehousing space. These are examples, or assisting with outreach, which we think is important because the local community knows the community. They're going to know it more than Encore or anyone who is advocate working on behalf of Encore to deliver the service. So it has to be a community-driven approach. And so we're committed toward working toward together to break down those traditional barriers to high-speed connectivity. Basically, just overall, really, Encore is strengthening collaboration. Some of the conversations we've had to date have been very encouraging in working toward, again, customized, tailored solutions, as we have been in discussions with some of my colleagues now, and as we've talked to other entities across the state. And just overall, by bringing together just the expertise of this collective team that we've talked about so many times, we can do this in terms of bringing the solutions together, because we have the diversity of thought, the diversity of resources, I feel, that can really support communities as we work together to address this need.
And I think Marshall said almost all of it. I mean, we in essence, it's how do we work collectively to alleviate barriers to success? And success is, again, going back to what we've said quite a few times, is delivering the value to the constituencies and the communities that we serve, right? How do we leverage the expertise of any cooperative or any organizations, which community organizations has longstanding relationships with the community leaders, with constituents, And how do we work together to spread the word and assist in communicating across the serviceable areas of these entities, right? How do we, you know, and in addition, I mean, one of the things we need to think about is identifying ways in which Encore can help and assist existing and or future efforts that these organizations have. How can we leverage Encore being in that market to then help the entity that we partner with to provide additional services that they need for their own operations, right? So, you know, and finally, I think to what Marshall said is, you know, the need to leverage existing infrastructure and collaborate on the best path forward. These entities know their communities. They know the landscape. They know the best way to get to certain places and how to get there. So it's to go back to what both you, Tracy, and Marshall have said, it's about collaboration. It's about working together. And it's about, you know, reaching the objectives we all have in that serving communities.
Yeah, and I think on that too, Bo, it's important, Tracy, for folks to understand that we're not looking to compete with EMCs or TMCs. We're looking to help them and help these communities get from where they're at to where the remaining community members who are unserved or overlooked are, and to fill that donut hole, and ultimately to prevent that donut hole from occurring going into the future. I think it's also important to think about it, to hit on the point Bo made. You know, if we look at this from the demand perspective, as folks look to invest or come to live, work, pray in a community, they want these basic necessities and these infrastructures, right? So the extent to which we can provide this infrastructure in those communities empowers or enables that economic development and that investment in those communities. You might see an investment in terms of housing developments or new businesses or industrial facilities when you have this infrastructure in those places. And that's really what we're trying to do. And the final point I want to make is when we talk about collaboration, and Marshall hit on it so well, this notion that Encore isn't looking to necessarily keep anybody out of this discussion or this effort. This is a very participatory and inviting effort. We know that no one provider can be all things to all people in all communities in North Carolina or anywhere. So we would encourage people to have conversations with us, reach out to us, and we'll be reaching out to folks. We know it's these players in this market, but it might be somebody different in another part of North Carolina. So that's very important.
And to that point, Jim, it was perfect, right? In that collaboration doesn't necessarily mean just with an electrical cooperative to provide service. It's collaboration across as well as down. Who can we work? Like, again, it's there are we have a goal here to deliver these services to the un and underserved of North Carolina, the overlooked population of North Carolina. Who can we collaborate with to accomplish that goal? And that's really, to your point, I think that's the key. And we welcome any and all. And to, you know, I know you're going to reach out to some of these others that have a similar, you know, are operating in other markets. But that's what all we're trying to do. How do we work together to get this done?
So I'm going to put us all on the spot just for a moment to take us back to something that Marshall said early on. Is this is not a technology issue, right? And so we say we meet all of the goals of Encore by providing connectivity where it isn't today. What then? What's next? How do they know? How do communities know and understand the best ways to use connectivity in order to create these thriving communities, right? In order to have these small businesses with a point of sale, you know, in their stores, how, you know, do we create, you know, who's creating the tech centers in these communities so that now, once they have connectivity, that they're able to utilize it in a way that helps their communities thrive and they to be more successful, and to Bo's point, to bring in more businesses, right? From an economic development standpoint. So when we talk about collaboration, it's not just collaboration for the connectivity piece, but Bo, you made the point. It's also, even under that, where the people pieces here around education and training for how to use this to create successful communities. So I'd love to hear anybody else's comment as I ease myself off of this soapbox.
That's a great question and great points you've made, Tracy. It's been interesting. Again, as an electric cooperative CEO that wholly owns a broadband subsidiary, these are very conversations that I'm even having internally for us. Because by the end of next year, we should be very close to universal broadband access to every member owner of Roanoke Cooperative. And the
Wow.
question internally for us is now, what's next? Right now, our take rate has been very sufficient in terms of what we've been able to achieve thus far because there are so many folks in our service territory who already understand the need. But you laid out a few words, you said a few words that were very key in your comments, training and education. And I do feel that there's a job that is being crafted today. That I feel very confident will be a necessity over the next 10, 15, 20 years. And that's in digital educators or navigators, because there are so many people, North Carolinians, who did not grow up with the internet, right? I mean, even myself, I wasn't an adult until it was really available. But there are young people today, that's all they know. And there are folks who can train. Let's just say some of our population to understand. You were talking about healthcare earlier, and there are so many folks who we need to even get to understand how to use MyChart with their providers so that they can save logistically on some of the cost and engagement, getting the prescription that they need without even going to see their doctor. They can get the prescription filled, sent in, and have it taken care of. You may have more visits from your grandchildren coming to your house, right? Because grandmother, grandfather now has access to the internet. And I feel this educational aspect is going to be very important. And I have some internal goals that we're talking about internally where I feel very confident that we can get to a higher level of access and connectivity and engagement, let's just say that word, from our membership as we continue to educate. And I feel that when people can learn and understand more about the value of the asset that has been delivered to them, we will continue to really grow this economy because you can really maximize it now.
Yeah. I mean, to Marshall's point, I mean, I think connectivity and technologies is just, one leg of the stool per se, right? For all these, regardless of whether think about work from home, right, remote working, telehealth, and education, right? This online education. All of those things require not only connectivity to the homes, but the education for these individuals to be able to use the technology that's now available. They will all fail, right? We can get, you can bring all the connectivity you want to the door, but if I don't have the ability to learn it, then all these programs aren't going to be successful. So our job, in my opinion, is that not only connectivity, but the education to be able to leverage and utilize that. The students that are graduating from high school today, right, have a greater opportunity with connectivity because they have the ability to potentially work from home. However, if they don't have the necessary education to be able to leverage those technologies, regardless of the age, then that all that opportunity is wasted. So I think it's going to be critical for us to be able to accomplish these goals.
Yeah, and I think that's exactly right. To hit on Marshall's comment earlier, this isn't a technology issue. I think this is a quality of life issue, and it's a quality of opportunity issue, right? What are the opportunities that remain unavailable to those who are in unserved or overlooked communities, right? And so we have a responsibility to create those opportunities, to improve the quality of the opportunities that those folks in those regions have. And when we talk about generational, we talked about that as the next generation. Let's not forget that there are times when we are exporting very qualified young people to other states because those opportunities don't exist in their hometown, in their communities, because they don't have this basic infrastructure or what's perceived as basic infrastructure in many other areas. It would be fantastic, particularly for farmers and those in agriculture who have these multi-generational farms and whatnot, to have these opportunities available to their children and their grandchildren to further build these communities and sustain the opportunities that this technology brings for years well into the future.
Thank you all for your comments. I think, you know, when I hear you all talk about this, I think there's also this call to action. When we ask about how other partners can get involved, this is it. This is really it. I love what Marshall is doing and hiring this individual, but you can't do that for everyone, right? So everyone across the state can get involved with these other pieces of this component that will make these communities successful that we've just talked about, the training, the education, the consulting around small businesses and getting them up and running off of paper, how to use telehealth, and all of those types of components. And so I will put that out there to the listeners too, that these are the types of things that are going to make this whole effort successful, not just for Encore, but internet for all. It can't just be connecting everyone. People need to know how best to utilize it for the success of their families and their communities and society in general. So thank you for your comments around that. So when I think about what an Encore is from an entertainment point of view, it really is a powerful way to leave a lasting impression on the audience. So the underlying concept of an Encore is a request by those around you for more, which is what too many underserved and overlooked communities have been desperate to obtain for many years in North Carolina. So here's a question for all of you. How will Encore advance high-speed broadband technologies that empower our public service missions in North Carolina communities?
I guess I will comment.
Of course you will, Bob.
I think that, and this will speak to many of the things that have been discussed today, but I mean, many of these communities in rural North Carolina have, stagnated or declined in some instances over the last couple of decades, right? And most of these communities are spending a significant amount of resources on economic development to reignite that growth, right? With Encore, we're able to come alongside these efforts, right? To partner once again and provide jet fuel to their current endeavors and enable them to truly light that fire of growth. I'll give you just an example of some from a landscape of the market today, with the continued focus on edge computing, right? And the advent of AI. I mean, everyone is gonna, the demand for data centers is going to become even more significant in the coming years, right? With Encore, yep, you're able to combine the power of electric providers, right, and high-speed data expertise to provide an opportunity, really, that is difficult to compete with across the state and the country, really. I mean, a low-cost acreage here out in the rural communities, scalable power, and a nearly unlimited bandwidth with the combination of MC, NC, and Vibe that create this Encore, right, are the key components to drive economic growth. So this is a great opportunity and one that really is going to help all these communities, again, ignite economic growth in these underserved and overlooked communities.
Yeah, I definitely want to just revisit some of the points that we made earlier. And again, Encore will be a game changer for local communities, especially in how it's going to drive economic growth. It's not about fast internet, as we've already mentioned. It's really about unlocking opportunities. And we've used that word quite a few times because that's a key word when we think of broadband. But with high-speed connectivity, yes, people, again, can work for these companies elsewhere. I enjoy the comforts of rural living. Of course, people can stay in their communities, which is very crucial while accessing career opportunities anywhere. I personally do, and I, as a matter of fact, wrote it recently in the most recent blog post that I put out to our membership. As we're continuing to build on deploying broadband in our areas, I do want to hear about some of the entrepreneurial ventures that are emerging now that this asset is being made available, because again, that is economic development. Of course, broadband enables people to start these businesses, innovate, and certainly reach the markets that are needed wherever they are. Local craftsmen selling. I heard when Jim talked earlier about farming, I certainly, as we think about particularly electric co-ops, those are the very people we serve at our core. We hail from the Rural Electric Administration, which hail from the United States Department of Agriculture, the electric co-ops. And so most of our customer base will be farmers. And I do look forward to engaging with farmers in our service territory who are really expanding on precision ag as this technology is being made available. How are we using devices now to be more efficient in how we operate our farming operations so that economic growth is being made available right there through that entrepreneurial venture of farming? And so overall, broadband is just, to me, the cornerstone of economic development. And that's a huge reason why electric cooperatives exist, is to continue to develop rural America to promote quality of life, business expansion, certainly great student opportunities, patients using telemedicine. It's just an overall shift, really, in the way we will operate moving forward. So we can see the end in mind, and we're beginning with the end in mind. We know the work that lies ahead, and we want to continue to forge ahead, knowing that these are some things that will really be beneficial to rural America.
So, oh, go ahead, Jim. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say, I think it's important for folks to know that we're working to achieve this mission. Our focus is not on profits, it's not on politics, it's simply on achieving our collective mission of eliminating the digital divide and bringing much needed broadband to overlooked, unserved, underserved communities across North Carolina. And end of sentence, period. That is our focus. And we're doing so by bringing various partners and encouraging other people to be partners across the state to serve in this opportunity.
So I have made no less than 3 pages of notes here of and I've been very involved in this from the beginning, but I always learn something new from you all when we talk. And a few of the comments around quality of opportunity, I don't think I've heard it presented quite that way when you think about what an Encore could do, could improve this quality of opportunity. Jet fuel to light the fire of growth. Hey, that is really significant. And I am so enthused by that statement because it says a lot. It also speaks to all of our passions that we have for the work that we do. And that can't be overlooked. And that's, why we're all in this together. And then this emerging entrepreneurial ventures that we are seeing emerge, as Marshall talked about, and which is really this cornerstone of economic development that I don't think we can talk enough about. As we close, which I think we could talk for another hour because this is just an incredible conversation. I'd like to go around, to each of you for your final thoughts that you may have that you want to share. I'll start with you, Marshall.
Yes, Tracy, very short on this one. We've covered a lot of ground. I would just wrap up everything we've talked about today in excitement about what's ahead. And I do look forward to seeing how Encore will continue to transform our state as we continue to collaborate. We're creating a future where everyone has the opportunity to succeed. And I just can't wait to see the lasting impact that this effort will have on North Carolina's communities.
Excellent, Bo.
No, and I echo Marshall's comments. I mean, I think that this is, and reiterate the fact that this is a generational, if not multi-generational opportunity that we have here. I think the more, and then some of the things that both you and Jim have said related to partnerships, working together across the state, right, with anyone that it's able to further this effort that we've got, let's work together to accomplish the goals that we all have and get everyone in North Carolina in these overlooked communities connected.
Jim?
I would just say that MCNC Five, we're uniquely positioned to make a material contribution to the sustainable support of broadband for the most overlooked and underserved areas in North Carolina. And in doing so, aligning with state and local broadband and economic development goals and objectives. So I think we're in a unique spot in North Carolina, unique spot in history. We have a great opportunity ahead of us, and welcome anybody that wants to partner in fulfillment of our mission.
Yeah, because you bring up this last point is that North Carolina is poised to become a national leader, ranking in the top five states for high-speed internet adoption. Secretary Weaver has kind of countered me on this fact because he wants it to be number one. And I think we all do. We all want North Carolina to be considered number one, and we're getting there. But as North Carolinians in every corner of the state can access, afford, and use high-speed internet, they can take advantage of career, education, and healthcare resources like we have talked about throughout this podcast. And smart investments like Oncor will drive our economy to new heights. This is an exciting venture. I'm looking forward to what's to come, and I hope you notice that same excitement from our speakers today. Thank you for joining us on MCNC Community Connect. We hope you've enjoyed this conversation as much as I have. Be sure to check out our previous podcasts now available online and make plans to join us again soon for our next discussion featuring technology leaders and innovators across North Carolina and the nation. You can listen to all episodes of MCNC Community Connect now on MCNC.org, Spotify, and wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. Thank you.